Brothers Random Show. My name is Travis.
I'm Michael.
And we are two brothers discussing extraordinary ideas and some random shit. So the topics on the show are going to range from theology, politics, masculinity, movies, books, music, pop culture, and many other subjects. We will be talking about the people we admire and learn from and the wisdom that they project. We will be riding on the coattails of giants, people such as Ben Shapiro, Thomas Sowell, Matt Walsh, Megyn Kelly, Chris Williamson of the Modern Wisdom podcast, Joe Rogan, Candace Owens, Adam Carolla, Larry Elder, Gary Vaynerchuk, Barry Weiss, Mike Rowe, and many others, but especially Dr. Jordan B. Peterson. We are fans, and if you are not fans of him or any of the other people, we ask you kindly to move on and fuck off. Hey, Michael.
How are we doing?
It's cold all over the country right now, so
I don't know. Arizona is probably pretty nice.
Yeah.
Phoenix is probably pretty nice.
I should probably move there. So our topic today is movies, because you and I are both movie nuts, movie fanatics. I dedicated probably 4 years to it back in the day. I was going to try to become a filmmaker at one point. In the background is one of my favorites, Inception. So we're going to get into our favorites, and why would people care about our favorites? Because they might get something from our tastes, let's say. We should probably mention ahead that we were both raised on a polygamous group, a fundamentalist Mormon group. We're just mentioning that. We are related to Cody Brown of Sister Wives fame. That does not define us. And so our last episode, we talked heavily about the way we were raised, and now we are moving into our tastes, and our tastes in movies specifically, most of, the impetus for this podcast was conversations that you and I have, and we are going to, go into, and many of the conversations you and I have are about movies and TV shows, and how they do well and how they're lacking. The future episodes of this podcast probably will involve some deep dives into specific movies that we love or hate. There's an option there. Because at one point I was just thinking about doing movies that were really bad, and we'd talk about how bad they were. But,
there's movies that we love. And we want to talk about those too. Yeah. Give credit where credit is due.
Exactly. So Michael, I'm going to have you start with maybe the first five of yours.
Yeah, first five. And we were kind of talking about this earlier, but basically we're not 100% sure what our really top five would be. So there's not really a ranking here of, significance or what we love the most, but and sometimes I'm a toss-up of like some of the top movies, and Braveheart and Gladiator usually always make the top, right? So, and that could have a lot to do with like how we were raised, chivalry, right? Like there's a whole bunch of stuff in there why we probably would have those two be in the top. I wanted to ask you, curious, which one would you put above the other? I'm just curious.
I couldn't. They're both amazing movies to me.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I don't think I could put one. I can't put one above the other.
I personally think I would put Braveheart above Gladiator. There's because some reasons.
It has boobies in it, so that might be right.
You get to see titties. This is true. Thank you, Mel Gibson.
I don't know. Gladiator's always been my favorite. I like a lot of people. Okay, so this is common among men our age. these two movies for some reason. It's common among men our age. So I'm a big fan of the recording artist Skillet, the band. I love that band. And I sometimes follow John Cooper, who's the lead singer, on his social media platforms. He does a podcast. He's, shout out to John Cooper, he's an awesome guy, heavy Christian, like staunch Christian. But he mentions those two movies as his favorite movies as well. And he's our age. He's probably 10 years older than I am. Maybe about 10. So men of our age and of our upbringing in a Christian kind of setting, those movies appeal to us because of chivalry,
the kind of manliness, right? Okay, so like they're competent men that are dangerous and kill people, right?
Well, and it's a revenge story. There isn't a man who truly loves his family who, if his family was murdered, would not go on a revenge rampage. There's just not a man out there that wouldn't. Society keeps it us from doing that, but they would have the absolute desire to take bad guys out.
So I would take you to task a little bit on that. I think the reason, and we will be talking about Jordan Peterson a ton.
Mm-hmm.
There, when he kind of skipped over it, I think, when he did his psychological significance of the Bible.
Yeah.
He talks a little bit about, I love his episode on Cain and Abel. It is amazing.
Yes. Yes.
Go watch it. There's a point in there where Cain becomes cursed after he kills Abel. And the notion that it's put forth there is that if somebody goes after Cain to seek revenge, it will be placed upon him or rewarded to him sevenfold. It's a notion of, if you go out and you seek revenge, this is bad for society. Now,
well, because then you're going, like, if you go after people, what's the saying? I can't remember the saying. So like a world full of people who go out, like an eye for an eye, but then that makes the world blind, right? So it's if we go after these people for revenge, but see, it doesn't negate the desire. And that's what movies are, is they're a fantasy.
And in both stories, it starts out as a desire, the revenge, but in both stories, you see them start to transcend the revenge. Okay.
Yes.
Hear me out. In Gladiator, there's a moment where
we should do a spoiler alert real quick. Anybody who's not seen these movies should go see them. Movies.
When we mention the movie,
there's
going to be spoilers.
There's going to be spoilers. So, I'm a big staunch for spoilers, but so, we may not be talking about anything new. So it's like
most all the guys have seen this, I'm sure. So
yeah,
but there's a moment where he has the opportunity to kill Commodus, who he wants to exact revenge on.
Yeah.
But a boy shows up right there, and he is left, just, there's a moment in the show, he's left with the decision, I could kill him now in front of this boy, and this would not be good, right? So he transcends the desire to just kill him right there, right? And there's a moment also in Gladiator where he's full of anger.
Let's not go by that too quick. So that implies that the character is, when you say transcending his revengeful need, he's also, well, it goes back to the chivalry, right? The protection of the innocents. So he's not going to kill this villain in front of his nephew to it, as a better, he's still going to do it. He still does it. Right. But he doesn't do it in that moment to keep the innocent,
to kind of protect that innocence,
to protect that innocence. So that's still like the chivalry thing, where the man is still trying to protect the innocence while still, still meeting his goal.
But also beyond that, there's also, and this happens in there, this kind of happens in Braveheart as well, which is where they are called. Now in Gladiator, straight up, the feminine calls him to a better, a higher place, because there's a moment where he says it's the moment where the woman comes to see him in the prison, and I forget her name, but
I think it's not Lucretia, or is it Lucilla? Lucilla.
He says, then have him kill Commodus.
Yeah.
Right? He's so angry. He just wants Commodus dead.
Yeah.
Well, she is trying to save a nation, right?
Yeah.
She's trying to save Rome. And it can't just be as simple as just killing Commodus, right?
Palace politics.
So there's some politics that are happening that is above and beyond his revenge.
Mm-hmm.
But all he wants is his revenge, and she points that out.
It's when the divine feminine stops you.
I knew a greater man that loved my father, the Marcus Aurelius of the story.
Which Marcus Aurelius is probably, he was a real character, whereas the Maximus character wasn't real. Marcus Aurelius. Anybody listening to this should read Meditations by Marcus Aurelius. He wrote this. Let's just take a detour real quick. So I don't remember a lot of movies where he's been depicted, but he's one of the proponents of Stoic philosophy. And the Stoic philosophy it's kind of like religion without God, essentially, right? It's like a way to live your life that's better than the average, you know, rebel rouser trying to wreak havoc in the world, you know? And so Marcus Aurelius wrote this. It was kind of like his diary, or it was like notes to himself, and he never intended to have it published or put out there for the masses. He dies. And then he becomes this great Stoic. What's the word? He becomes, like, everybody's thinking about him 100 years. Not everybody, but a lot of people. So hundreds of years, thousands of years after his death, and it was just notes to himself. And they're very good. Ryan Holiday talks a ton about him. And in Ryan Holiday, I don't share the same politics as he does usually, but Ryan Holiday is really interesting to listen to, because he talks a ton about the Stoics, and especially Meditations by Marcus Aurelius. So I would encourage anybody. But anyway, what were you saying?
Go back. So anyway, the feminine calls him to a higher purpose,
mm-hmm.
rather than just exacting his revenge. She calls him out to be greater, and this will be a common theme with movies that we love, is that the divine feminine calling out greatness from the man. right?
Well, and we're both married. We both have children. And so we are always looking. This is one of the reasons we're doing this, is that we're always looking to better ourselves or become better than the basic man is, you know. And that's,
well, and also we see something, we see a problem in society right now with how men are and how they've become. I think there's something broken.
Yeah. So there's something. Get this, Michael. So Braveheart came out in 1995, I think. Mm-hmm. And Gladiator came out 5 years later in 2000. And so both of these movies are over 20 years old. And they don't make movies like this anymore.
Yeah.
That's why they're so old, is that at some, there was a point in movie history where there was this idealism of people and men in general. And they don't make movies like that anymore. And I think that's why it's still like number one on everybody's, you know, because we want to see heroic characters, right? And Lucilla is a heroic character, even though she never has a battle or a fight in the entire movie. She's played brilliantly by Connie Nielsen, who interesting enough, she's the mother of Wonder Woman in Wonder Woman, the movie. So it's interesting
the actress.
Yeah. She plays the mother character.
Oh, no way.
It's the same.
Really?
Yeah. It's the same actress.
Oh, okay. Sweet. Yeah.
So I didn't realize that. After this movie came out, I was kind of obsessed with her for a little while. Anyway, so we don't see characters like this anymore either. Her character, like good women who aren't warriors. So the new fad in Hollywood is to make all women the warriors, right? You get this with the new Lord of the Rings.
Masculate
the woman, which is okay when it's done. There's a way to do it, right? Aliens. Aliens is a perfect example of a way to have a feminine woman who's still a feminine or still feminine and also have her be a badass, right?
So, and Aliens 2 was
Aliens
kind
2,
of,
yeah.
If you think about it, Aliens 2 was kind of a mama bear.
Yeah, story. Yeah.
Story.
Yeah.
That's a mama bear story.
She finds, right? She
finds the child. She attaches a relationship, mm-hmm, builds with
Newt.
The child.
Yeah,
right?
Newt, the child. So we've lost something where the feminine is no longer strong. Like when they do strong female characters, they think, oh, a warrior
let's
character.
Let's make him like a man.
Let's make him like a man. It's like, yeah. Well, why are we doing this? So there are female characters, feminine characters that, and you know, we might be able to blame that maybe on Terminator, the Terminator 2, because the character in Terminator 2, Sarah Connor, goes from being really like docile and feminine and not very strong.
I'm going to take you on task a little bit on that.
Well,
because you're going to say because she kind of becomes like a man. But even in Terminator 2, there's a moment where she talks about, you men don't even understand that, like, I've had a child grow inside,
mm-hmm,
me.
Mm-hmm.
This is life. And you men are sitting here talking about creating an AI system that is a life.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah, yeah,
kind of fuck all of you.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, is that speech in when she's In the insane asylum in Terminator 2?
No, that was after she tries to kill the guy who started Skynet.
Oh, Skynet. Yeah.
So she tries to kill the guy who's
and then Skynet. John Connor tells her to calm down because she's getting like a little, she's going nuts, a little crazy. Okay, now I remember. So it's the same scene.
Well, they stop and then they're sitting there talking with the creator of Skynet.
Yeah, Skynet.
I forget his name, but then there's a little rant she does right there where she talks about how,
and then John tells her calm down, like, mom, you're starting to freak everybody out. Yeah, I remember it.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah. So the point being is that she still
has feminine qualities, even though
though she was a badass. And
well, even though she had like turned slightly masculine, like what we're talking about here, listeners, is that we're talking about the old definitions of masculinity and femininity, and it wasn't degrading for women at a certain time to call them feminine. And something's changed in the last 5-10 years because now they take it as, oh, this is degrading. But why is it degrading? It's not. Maybe the degradation is when you've become so masculine that we can't tell you from a man from a woman, you know?
Yeah.
So why is it degrading to be a mama bear, right? Why is it where in society have we gone wrong to the point that the Lucilla character from Gladiator, she doesn't pick up a sword in the entire movie, but she's so strong.
She's so strong in her own right.
In her convictions, in the way she's telling him that, you know, you can't just kill him right now. We need to keep him alive to further the agenda of the Senate, because then we're just looking at it like a kind of an anarchy.
Yeah. You know, she's trying to get him. We have to. And there's a moment in Gladiator where his friend tells him that he must kill his name before he kills him.
Yes.
The thing was, it was the same with Commodus. In order for Maximus to kill Maximus, the main character, to kill Commodus, he needed to kill his name first. Right. So he couldn't just make him a martyr. He couldn't just kill him.
Yeah.
There were steps. There was a procedure that needed to happen before he could kill him.
Yeah.
And so,
does that actually happen in Braveheart? Do you recall? Like, does he actually get called out to stop whatever?
In Braveheart, the very beginning of Braveheart, all William Wallace wants is the peaceful life.
Mm-hmm.
He wants a wife. He wants a family. He wants to run his farm. Yeah. That's it. And you see this a little bit in Gladiator as well, where
all he wants to do is get home.
The first 10 seconds of Gladiator, all we know is we see a man that's got desolation all around him and has a small moment where he sees a bird.
And he's thinking of home.
And he's thinking of home, and he smiles a little bit when he sees the bird fly off. The guy just wants peace. Like, he just wants the peaceful life, to go home, to run his farm, to have his family, to love his child, and that's what he wants, right? So this is the peaceful warrior, the virtuous monster.
Yeah.
Kind of there's a motif here where they're good because they want peace.
Yeah.
Right?
They're not tyrants. The people who are like, yeah, let's go to war. Those are the tyrants, right? Those are
tyrannical. They kind of needed to put together, like, portray that to the audience. They have to let the audience know that these guys don't want to go to war. They don't want to kill people. They don't want, like,
That's the warrior.
They don't want the power. That's the other thing. That's the warrior you want, right?
That's the warrior you want on your side. You want the warrior who's going to go to war, but doesn't want to go to war. It's the same thing with politicians. So everybody keeps talking about don't trust a politician who wants to be president. Don't trust that guy, right? Trust the guy that doesn't want to be president that becomes president. How many of those do we have?
Yeah, none.
I don't think we have any. Because they all want to be president, right?
You have to work so hard to get it. It's not like it's bestowed upon you. Like, there's the moment in Gladiator where Marcus Aurelius asks Maximus to be the protector of Rome.
Yes.
And he says, with all my heart, not ask me to do this thing.
Because I don't.
And Marcus Aurelius says, that's why it has to be you.
Yeah, that explains so much. So the philosophy of the virtuous monster, like, it's a philosophy that I've been kind of working out. But Jordan Peterson talks about this a lot. He famously said a quote on the Jocko Willink show that said,
"Just going to try to get the quote directly right. To find it.
Let me." I have it saved on my phone.
He talks a little bit about it in his biblical lectures. When Christ says the meek shall inherit the earth, he had a problem with that. Like, the meek shall inherit the earth, what does that even really mean? But he studied into a bunch of different translations, and what he came to was that it's not what it's saying is more or less that those who have swords and know how to use them, but choose not to, shall inherit the earth.
Yeah.
Totally different.
Because
meaning,
then you're
right?
then you're a defense. You're not a tyrannical. So you're a defense against the tyrannical, right?
And this speaks to something inside of all of us, because we watch Braveheart and we watch Gladiator.
Yes. Well,
and they're guys that just want to be peaceful.
Who fight the tyrannical.
Who are called upon to use the sword when they need to.
So the quote is, a harmless man is not a good man. A good man is a very, very dangerous man who has it under voluntary control. So the idea, the virtuous monster idea is that in a nutshell. It's basically, we have the ability, but we're not going to use it. And when it comes to, like, general life, you can't be tyrannical towards your children and your wife, and you have to make that choice, because technically, I mean, there's laws in place that'll keep people, but how many people do you know that you always hear about these kids who grew up with violent fathers, alcoholic fathers, and they're basically like, the law didn't help me then, right? I still had to suffer through this. So what's actually going to stop that type of man? Himself. He has to stop. He has to not be the tyrant in his own home. And this goes back to, so I had this weird thought when one time my youngest, I was putting her to bed, and she said something about, there's a monster and she was really young. She was probably 2 or 3. And she said something about a monster in her closet. She was just stalling to try not going to sleep. But I had this weird thought of, like, well, I'll, if there's a monster in there, I told her, you know, I'll fight him. Okay. And that seemed to be good enough for her. And she went to sleep. But when I left the room after putting her to sleep and closed the door, and I thought, I'm the most dangerous thing in this house. I am. I could be that monster. And I have to make the conscious choice not to be. Bar none, just down to the, so you have to make the choice. So there's men out there who will terrorize their family. Maybe they're not physically abusive, but maybe they're mentally abusive, or maybe mm-hmm. they're not
verbally abusive.
Yeah. And you have to, and I see this in myself, right? I'm always doing this thing where in my head, do I say this right now? Because what I say right now is probably going to be devastating to my wife or something. And so it's this constant, like, monster. That's where the virtuous monster comes from, because we have the vicious monster in us, right? The vicious monster that's going to do this thing out of spite, out of insecurity, doubt, nihilism. I mean, all these things that kind of creep into our heads, but we have to make these conscious choices not to do them. And it goes back to these great characters from these movies, is they make these choices like, I want peace, but I also have the capability of making, you know, a tyranny.
Making war. Yeah.
So,
yeah. And being the tyrant.
And being the tyrant, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's how we individually need to not be the tyrant, is you become the virtuous monster. You become this, you know, a lot of people think, you know, we've emasculated most of society. You know, if you change diapers, it's emasculating to a lot of men. But it's like, no, you're helping out. You're helping with the, you know, I think Andrew Tate talks about that too. He talks about not changing diapers, and he's like, that's a woman's job. And it's like,
yeah,
well, yeah, you're, so what I see in Andrew Tate is a lot of the monster and not enough of the virtue.
Not enough of the virtue. Yeah.
And yeah. That's where people get really uptight about him. Now, what he says, a lot of things he says are completely off the mark. But there are things that he says that are way
right on the mark.
And yeah. You got to go, whoa. I mean, I personally don't like the way he is towards women. And that's just
a pimp.
Yeah. But that goes to,
let's not
that,
be pimps, guys. Come on.
Well, that goes back to the can you be a great man and not be basically fucking everything that moves? Because look at all the people that we admire, okay? I've recently learned there's a lot of evidence that Thomas Jefferson might have been a little promiscuous. His wife died young, so it wasn't like he was cheating on her, but he had affairs. For me, filmmakers that I like James Cameron's movies, and he's working on his like fourth wife. I don't know.
And that might play into, you know, sometimes the greatest among us have the greatest demons.
Yes. So, well, and like Martin Luther was terrible towards women too. Martin Luther King, Dr. King, and what he did was miraculous, right? But he was terrible when it came to women.
Yeah. And when it was Ryan Holiday was on Joe Rogan, I think.
Yeah.
And they started talking about, why is it that great like great men have really shitty son, like kids.
Yes. Yeah. Like and Marcus Aurelius is like, so back to Gladiator, Commodus was a terrible ruler, like just shit in real life. So the idea that this great ruler that kept Rome going for many, many years, I mean, he wasn't.
And it was a kind of a golden age.
The golden age. Well, and he wasn't too great because they did have a plague or something that happened then that kind of wiped out like a third of their population. And he didn't know how.
It's probably bad.
So he wasn't 100%, but he was still a man, right? And like he's not a god among us, although some people thought that the Roman emperors were gods among men, but there's no evidence to say that he thought that of himself. Like that's why he wrote Meditations, is because he's trying to be greater than he was. Meditations talks about like get out of not wanting to get out of bed early in the morning because it was nice and cozy and that sort of thing, you know. That's a very human thing, you know.
So back to that battle between being the tyrant or being the good man, and played out, you know. But like anyway, and Ryan Holiday kind of says, well, maybe great men are busy and they're not the greatest fathers. What do we know, right? I mean, so there's always going to be a little bit of a battle, I think, between in every man's heart to be the tyrant, or to be the good virtuous warrior.
Well, and I guess it comes down to what equals greatness. So Martin Luther King changed the world, right? And we can all agree that he was great.
Yeah.
But our deceased brother, Curtis, who died in 2013 from complications of a motorcycle accident, he's not going to be known by anybody but the family. And he was a great man. So where do we cut the line on greatness, right? Are we great because of how the world remembers us, or just the family,
or by our family, how our family remembers us?
This is something that I struggle with, because I think after Curtis's children die, nobody's going to remember him, because we'll be gone by the time his children pass. And so he's pretty much a generation away from being completely forgotten. Whereas Dr. Martin Luther King he's been dead for 50 years almost. And we all remember him still, right? And Thomas Jefferson's been dead for 250 years.
Yeah.
And Thomas Jefferson wrote probably the most amazing single document in the history of the world.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I guess that really, like, I think that's an unanswerable question, right?
It's what we're all doing, right? We're all just trying to figure that out.
We're all ants on an anthill trying to make the best of life.
Let's probably get back to the movies. We're down to two of our favorites, and we haven't even gotten to any of the other ones.
So those two are on your top, and they're also on my top. Gladiator and Braveheart, mainly because they encompass that virtuous masculinity, right? The virtuous monster.
I think so. And hopefully we'll see more of that in the future. Time will tell, right?
Well, and I think Hollywood's we can get into that, because I think Hollywood's failing at this. I think the last 5 years, so you, not to bring everything to politics, but basically everybody did this revulsion towards Donald Trump becoming the 45th president of the United States. And I think they've done, like, the pendulum has swung too far.
They hated him so much. Now we've got to make everything feminine.
And because he kind of, I wouldn't say he did a good job at showing masculine virtues, because he's still a really apprehensible character, but he was trying to show strength on the world stage. He was trying to, what do you call it? And because of these things, the pendulum went way off course. So you can't have a movie with a strong masculine character anymore. They've all got to be strong female characters that are becoming, androgynous, right? Mm-hmm. Do we call them women and stuff like that? But they have all the classic masculine traits, you know, like the Rings of Power, the Galadriel in the original Lord of the Rings, the one that Tolkien wrote, is a divine feminine, right? She's this ideal, and all the men like leave her forest, like feeling love, like kind of in love with her, enchanted.
A little bit in love with her.
And that, like, Gimli, you know, does the whole, like, he's crying after they leave or something like that, and so she's a completely different character. They've made her this young warrior character
in the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
Yes.
Thinking about that, so Galadriel meets Frodo. They have an interaction, right? And she's kind of this projected beautiful divine feminine.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, and then she gives him something, right? She gives him something, and
it's light.
What saves him at his darkest moment, one of his darkest moments,
is the gift
where he is going to be eaten by a spider in the dark abyss. The light that she gives him.
The spider is also feminine. So if you want to read into that, she could be the toxic feminine, whereas Galadriel's light is the divine feminine.
Toxic feminine. And we all know this. Men are the highest, more likely to commit suicide, homicide.
To die on the job.
The darkness inside of men is a real problem.
Well, right? it projects itself out into everything else. So if you haven't dealt with your demons as a father, you are going to be abusive to your children. If you haven't dealt with all your demons, if you haven't dealt with those things, then you're going to perpetuate whatever problems your children are going to perpetuate the problems in their lives as well. So our father, for lack of a better anything, was abusive in the physical sense and in the mental,
verbal.
Yeah. And his father was abusive to him in the same way. Mm-hmm. And so he's just perpetuated it and for lack of, I don't know why he didn't stop it. But we as brothers, I think, have done an okay job. You and I and our other brothers have done an okay, like, our, we haven't been abusive to our kids.
Yeah.
So now they may have you know, everybody grows up and has some kind of problem, but too much of our generation blames everything on their upbringing, you know,
mm-hmm.
or everything else outside of them. Right. So, but that goes, I guess that's what goes back to what we were speaking of before, right?
So, and this, I don't know, it just, it goes back to that men can get into a dark, dark place. And sometimes it is the divine feminine that saves us.
Yeah.
Right. It's in so much of the movies that we love.
So Jordan Peterson talks about this
being an example.
Yeah. Jordan Peterson talks about this a lot. So so when men get into dark places, they tend to lash out at the world. When women get into dark places, they tend to lash out at themselves. So this is why
a little bit true. That's a little tricky because men are way more likely to actually commit suicide. Now, I think Jordan talks about this. I want to say that
all school shooters are often. Men. All school shooters are boys.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah.
I don't think and I could be wrong, and I'm sure the YouTube correctors will correct us, but there has not been a school shooter who's been a woman or a girl.
I want to say there's been one or two, but
if there's violent women, it's usually a domestic issue. It's usually something happening in the house.
Yeah.
What I'm trying to get to is that when men become dark and nihilistic and mentally unstable, they tend to lash out at the world. They become mass murderers. They terrorize their children or their wives. They do something along those lines. Whereas women tend to self-harm when they're in the dark places. They become bulimic or anorexic. And they link all those things to mental disorders as well.
Yeah.
So when they get to that place, that's how they lash out. And I don't know where I was going with that.
Anyway, but it's in so much of what we watch. Beauty and the Beast
is the
Lord of the Rings.
Thing.
So it shows that. So to contrast that to Galadriel, now they're making Galadriel this great warrior, and you know she can just take care of monsters just
so it's okay to do this, but why do this to a character that was already, why not create another character? Like, so this is the whole thing that's wrong with the movies that are coming out today, right? And shout out to Critical Drinker. He loves to shit all over the new movies and stuff like that, which is fine. Because I don't know if there's been a good movie to come out in the last little while. There's been great movie to come out in the last little while. There's been good movies. But great movies like this, that's
Top
why
Gun Maverick, I think, was a great show.
It's a good movie, but it's good for all the reasons that all the movies that are coming out are bad. So it's not necessarily, it's a contrast. It's not necessarily, it doesn't have a really great plot. It's fun to watch and it's a fun movie, but it has absolutely no surprises and it doesn't.
Well, neither did like Gladiator. I mean, Braveheart had a little bit of a surprise where there was the moment where he almost kills Robert DeBruce and is betrayed by Robert DeBruce.
Yeah, DeBruce, yeah.
Which is a total Judas
scenario,
scenario, yeah. You know,
well,
Judas.
We all know Mel
Christ.
Gibson is an extremely what is it? Religious. Catholic. So there's no way. Yeah. Catholic. So there's no way that he's not going to put that into his movies, especially at the highlight of his life when he made that movie.
But I loved it. It was so good. It was so good. Yeah. And we could just,
could you imagine because we didn't see, I wasn't old enough to see that movie in theaters. Could you imagine seeing it in a big theater nowadays?
So awesome. That'd be so cool. Awesome. So in that moment, you see the break. So William Wallace breaks in that moment. His friend has sold him
down the river.
The Judas has sold him. Right. And the what's crazy about that is a great, great man in that moment calls out the best in Robert DeBruce. So Robert DeBruce in that moment knows
he fucked up. Yeah.
And it's so powerful. And then what he needs to do from there, what he needs to do is he needs to go against his malicious, his evil masculine, which was his father.
Yes.
So
it's as much a story about Robert DeBruce as it is about William Wallace, because Robert DeBruce is actually the real hero, because he actually did liberate Scotland.
Scotland. So there's, and it's so awesome. You guys should check it out. The interview that Jordan Peterson does with Randall Wallace, the writer of
Braveheart. Yeah, it's so good. It's one of his best interviews, probably.
It blew my mind. Blew my mind. I loved it. And it gave me even more of an appreciation for Braveheart. It just, it was crazy cool. So anyway, I don't know how we got onto that, but it was amazing. Watch it again. You'll love it.
Yeah.
So going back, contrasting, we were talking about Lord of the Rings, the divine feminine that calls out and saves the hero.
Yeah.
Saves the hero so that he can destroy evil. Right. So they're forgetting the role, the new stuff they're trying to pan out is they're forgetting the role of the divine feminine in stories.
Yes. In ancient old stories, right? So the whole idea that the beast stop in Beauty and the Beast stops being a beast is because he does it
because the divine feminine calls it out, pulls the
separates the animal from the man and gets the greatness out of him. And so this is what's missing in modern movies, right? So somewhere along the line, so feminism is really good. Okay. It got women the vote. It got women equal freedom. Rights, equal rights in the work environment. All those things are really good, but it goes back to the pendulum swinging too far. So we had what do you call it? Made women subjugated for so long that now the pendulum is swinging in the wrong direction. It's come to the point where you can't make a movie about that has a man and a woman in it, and the woman is in any way less than. So I don't know. So thinking of like sitcoms in the 90s where there was a family, like I'm trying to think of like According to Jim and what was it like Tim Allen's Home Improvement.
Though, oh yeah. Home Improvement.
So those sitcoms make the men, they started out, they made the men look like idiots most of the time. And they still, so most sitcoms make the father figure look like an idiot. The mother's always smarter than them. And that's kind of where this progression started. So it started up this hill of they're all idiots and the women are smarter. And now we're at the peak of the hill where there is no competent man in pop culture anymore. It's all competent females. And I blame a little bit of the Me Too. Okay. So Me Too started out as this good thing where they're basically saying, these men are disgusting towards these women. These men deserve to be like Harvey Weinstein. And you can look this up. It's been in the news forever. But so the Me Too movement started out as this good thing where they're going to hold men accountable for their actions, right? So there's bad men out there, right? And they do bad things. And if we don't hold them accountable, they'll continue, right? Okay, so we stopped that. Yeah. But now it's gotten to the point where there are no good men. Right?
Yeah.
So because there was...
Any masculinity is bad.
Any kind of masculinity is bad. It's all bad. And so we're stuck in this moment of movies coming out. And the movies are just terrible. What was the last Marvel movie you watched?
I watched Endgame and I liked that.
Yes. So we're talking after Endgame. So Endgame, I think, is what, 2019 or 2019. Yeah. So the last one I watched was Spider-Man and the Spider-Man, which one was it?
Into the Spider-Verse? Or
no, it's the, well, that's a good one, but it's the Spider-Man that had all three of the Spider-Men in it. I guess it should be, that should be a spoiler, right?
Yeah. That should be a spoiler.
But I'm gonna look it up. I can't remember the last.
Whoops. Oh, messed it up for you. I actually haven't seen that one yet. So
yeah. Oh man, sorry. I think I might have just spoiled it for you.
That's okay. I knew that the other Spider-Men were in it.
So there's Spider-Man. Okay, so the first one with Tom Holland is Spider-Man Homecoming. The second one is Spider-Man Far From Home, and the Spider-Man No Way Home. So in No Way Home was the last Marvel movie that I watched in theaters, and I haven't seen Doctor Strange,
any of the other,
the Wakanda Forever. They've just declined in quality because they look terrible. Like the Thor Love and Thunder looked terrible. Not that the earlier Thor movies are any good either, because I didn't really...
I loved Ragnarok. I thought that was fun. It was a fun show.
Yeah. Take him or leave him, but there was enough online about it that I was just like, okay, maybe I just won't see this. And I don't usually do that. I usually like to watch movies and kind of decide for myself, but lately they've not done a very good job of...
And Chris Williamson has, I forget her name, but he has a gal on that talks about the bringing down of men in these shows. So like they become a joke in their own shows.
Thor. I remember who you're talking about. Her name is,
we'll put it in the show notes.
She's got a handle. It's a YouTube handle. I think, but I can't remember.
Anyway, so she talks about how in these shows there's it's becoming the thing now to take the masculine, the hero, and like publicly humiliate them,
yeah,
in their own shows. And
yeah,
I, to be honest, I don't know where they're going with this stuff.
Like, yeah, where's the end game here? Because the end game could very well be, well, it could just be like the destruction of movies, essentially.
It's kind of like, why? You know, it's in order, it's the quintessential bully tactic of, let me make myself feel better by beating up, by teasing, by humiliating you, so that I can feel better about myself.
Yeah,
why are women wanting to see the
destruction
downfall?
of them?
We gotta bring down men and humiliate them in order for us to feel better about ourselves.
Well, and it's not necessarily that, but it's basically like what it's not it's the at the expense of what? I always ask this. So
yeah,
feminine or feminism is good, but at the expense of what? So what's going to happen if we continue along these lines, right?
Yeah.
Like, are we just going to get rid of men altogether? Like, what's the end goal?
Maybe.
Here?
When, and this is going to come to kind of almost like a,
oh, it was baggage crisis claim.
Of masculinity.
Baggage claim. Her name is Baggage Claim.
Baggage.
That's
claim.
Her handle.
Great. It was an awesome interview.
Great interview, because she's kind of complaining, because she's like, well, I like masculine men. I like seeing them on the screen. I like seeing that happen. But it's become this degrading. Like, we're cutting these people down to
yeah,
build up the feminine. But that's not the right way to go. You know. Okay. So. So Marilyn Monroe is famous for saying, if you can't handle me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best. And I think that's a damaging thought, because what it implies is that what it should be is, help me at my worst so I can become my best. Uh-huh. That's what, because, and this is what I think the feminine movement has become. It's become, I'm going to take you down to build myself up.
Yeah.
And that we should be going together. We should be going up together. We should be getting better together. It shouldn't be, I'm going to tear you down so that I can build up. It's not so.
Yeah.
Anything that starts with the whole idea of tearing something down, right, is probably wrong. Building something is better. It's harder. It's easier to tear something down. It's easier.
Yes.
It's easier for me. So I sometimes write, movie reviews on Letterboxd. I write under Story Junkie on Letterboxd. So if you guys want to check that out, check that out. But I write reviews, but I find the movie reviews easier to write when I hate the movie. Isn't that crazy? When I like the movie, I find it harder to get it out. You know, mm-hmm. like to express, like, if I really, really like the movie, I'll find a way to write about it. But like a movie that's kind of mediocre and I enjoyed it, I find a harder time writing about it, as opposed to a movie that I really hate. And then I just go right into it. And there's no better explanation of the problem with masculinity in our society right now than The Last Duel, which was made by Ridley Scott and stars Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. And that is rough to watch, because there is not one good male character in that entire movie. And it is obviously going, "You're bad for being a man. That's it. That's why you're bad."
Yeah. They, in the show, they definitely portray what I would call a toxic masculinity.
Yeah.
But they just didn't give us a contrast. See, what made Braveheart so great is that it showed like varying levels of good fathers and of bad fathers.
Yes.
And of like good masculinity and
bad masculinity.
Yeah. Right. And I wanted to point out here, I did not believe, and this could just be because we're two white guys and two dudes that are talking about it, but I did not believe that in any point in Gladiator and in Braveheart that it was at the expense of feminine.
Yeah, of women. Yeah. Because they still show strong female characters like Lucilla. Lucilla
incredibly
is
incredibly strong female characters.
Yeah, is a very strong female character.
Did they pick up a sword? No.
No. But
did
do
they go
need
kill
to?
Somebody? No.
But do they need to? That's the point, right? Do they really need to?
They were amazing feminine characters, strong characters in their own right, in a different way than picking up a sword and lobbing off some monster's head.
Yeah. And that's probably the problem with most movies nowadays. Like, and that's why Top Gun Maverick became the biggest movie of this past year. It's like this juggernaut. And it's not because it's a sequel, because most people who went and saw it were too young to have even seen the original.
Probably seen the first one.
I personally didn't like the original. I thought the original was kind of blah, but this one was good.
Yeah.
And when I look back on the year that just happened, it's honestly that and the Spider-Man movie that I just mentioned. Those are the two movies that I can think of that I actually liked.
Hopefully it's a voting with your dollar
scenario
going on. Hopefully Hollywood will kind of get the hint that, you know, we want to watch great entertainment that doesn't, you know, it's weird because I say that doesn't preach an ideology, although, I mean, could we say that there was, in a sense, an ideology or even an ethic that was built inside of Braveheart and into Gladiator?
Well,
is it just noticing and this could be back to like the Hero of a Thousand Faces, like
with the thousand
is it
faces, yeah.
something that's within inside of us that's just being kind of brought out and shown?
In our entertainment, yeah.
I don't know. Or is it a preaching to masculine, calling out masculine to be better?
Well, yeah, but it goes back to at the expense of what? We need men to be better, and we need women to be better, but at the expense of each other. That's not what we want.
No, that's not.
We want them to be better together. So there's this idea in society that in order for one person to get ahead, another person needs to go, phew, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So this idea that there can be only one, you know, to to take from another movie franchise, an old movie franchise.
I did not put Matrix on my list. Holy shit.
We're an hour and a half into this and we've only gotten through two movies.
We got into like 2-3 movies.
Yeah.
Jeez.
So we might have to stick the landing on this one, but
yep.
I mean, maybe I'll just rattle off a few of my favorite movies but this is what we are just a couple of brothers having discussions about, the things that we're interested in. So yep. Gladiator is probably, I have a list on Letterboxd. I write under Story Junkie on Letterboxd. I have a list if anybody wants to go see the list, but it is actually, there's Gladiator, Inception, The Dark Knight, Logan, and then I've got Batman Begins, Ooh. The Dark Knight Rises.
We should mention Logan. When we're going through Exodus, we should mention Logan and talk about that.
Yeah, and there's Braveheart's in there. I've got The Gray. I've got The Last of the Mohicans with Daniel Day-Lewis. And
did you ever like Legends of the Fall?
I did like it, but I didn't like it as much as I think I was put off by the obsession with Brad Pitt in that movie after it came out. Because there were posters everywhere.
Yeah, it was just all over.
It was just like, ugh, man, can we just...
Sorry, I interrupt. Go ahead. I don't know. We should probably wrap this up.
How long... when did you first see Legends of the Fall? Because it's not like a movie that we really had in our house.
When I first saw it, I didn't like it because I was still kind of a pious prick, religious, pious jerk. Anyway, but like since having like the more I watch it, the more I like it.
I haven't seen it in a long time. Maybe I should revisit that one.
It's a lot of it's in the name. Like it is the Legends of the Fall from
Grace.
Innocence. Like the Fall from Innocence is a huge part of it. So I probably gained a new kind of love for it reading the book Wild at Heart, which is just a book that John Eldridge wrote about masculine Christianity, like Christian men. Masculine Christian men. And he talks a lot about Last of the Mohicans. He talks about Legends of the Fall. He talks about Gladiator. He talks about Braveheart.
Mm.
He talks a lot about Legends of the Fall because his point being that women love the more, even though the more masculine character was like kind of a womanizer and he wasn't a good father and there's all these things, the woman loved that character more. Is drawn to him more.
But that's because he's the wild man, right? Like,
going into Iron John, the wild man is.
But I mean, I don't know.
More desirable.
Yeah. But now we're in a different time, right? Where the wild man is considered toxic.
Yeah.
It's
a sad time, but that's why we're doing what we're doing. So we can talk about this stuff and hopefully call back men being great men and women being great women. So,
that really should be the goal of this, because now that we've righted the course on the Me Too, like, don't degrade women. Maybe we should get back on the course of, let's not degrade men in the process either. We shouldn't be lifting one up to tear one down. That's really what I've come down to. We should be lifting each other up. So
it should be the point of this podcast. Yeah.
So yeah. Let's stick wrap the landing. Social media stuff. Do you have any of that on hand?
We'll put it in the show notes.
Okay. And
all right. Till next time.
Till next time. This is the Brothers Random, and we just finished our first about movies. We didn't get very far, but all right. We will talk later, brother. Have a good day. See ya.